will be taken from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. And if you want to use the Pew Bibles, you can find that on page 1094. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, we cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness?
First of all, let me welcome everyone here, and also to say what a privilege it is to be able to address this body, to be able to stand here and proclaim the gospel of Christ. As Paul just so succinctly put it, that is the gospel in a nutshell. We have been freed from sin and death by the glory and grace of God through the sacrifice of Jesus, and we live forever. When we look around in the world and we see things, we begin to wonder sometimes, how does this affect me? How am I supposed to follow Jesus but yet get along in this world? And oftentimes, and particularly if you're a younger person, but you see it just as well amongst someone my age and even older, how do I fit in? How come this can be so difficult when everyone else does it, but yet that's not what God wants us to do? So therefore, we have to live to God because we are not slaves to the world. We should not be allowing ourselves to worry about what the world does, but instead live to God. And through the scripture, we can see various things that help point this out. And you can take bits and pieces and say, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. But then when you continue reading, you're going, oh, wait, okay, I see how this applies a little bit differently. And there are different attitudes that we can take, different tacks that we can take, and hopefully we will all accomplish the same goal, and that is everlasting life, eternal in heaven, But we need to look and see what the Scripture says. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, and when he, most of us know the first part of this reading here. Because Peter says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles." Okay, let's stop right there for a minute. What does that mean? It means you don't belong here. Okay, so we look at that. Okay, we're not fitting in already because foreigners and exiles. But he's telling us, he's urging us to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagan that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. So let's look at this for a minute. We don't fit in, but yet we are called to be good citizens, abide by the law of the land. So that even if someone wants to look at us and say, well, you're out there, you know, you could be labeled intolerant or something along that line. If you live a good life and you are not in people's face and you are not disobeying civil law, what do they have to accuse you of? You're living a good life as called by Christ. Because he says, when he says this, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. What did Jesus do? What does it say Jesus did when he was here on this earth? He went about doing good. But in doing good, was he not accused of all kinds of terrible things? So we can expect maybe the same thing to happen to us. For the world to say, you don't fit in here. But that's okay. Jesus didn't either. Peter says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Okay, you already know you did wrong, so where's the credit for enduring the beating? Here's where it comes in. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats, and instead he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So when Peter is putting this up here, being aliens and strangers, okay, you don't fit in. Okay, I got that. If you do wrong and are taken to task for it, you deserve it. If you do no wrong and are unjustly treated, but you bear it just as Jesus bore it, that is commendable to God. So if for our faith we are persecuted, we should not retaliate. We should not do the things the world says. Well, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. That's not what Jesus did. So therefore, it's not what we should do. In doing all of these things, we see the great example that Paul left for us as well. Because here was a man who went throughout the world, endured terrible things. That man got beat. He was stoned, left for dead, mistreated. And what did Paul do? He thanked God that he was found worthy to suffer for Christ. That, personally, just blows me away. And I think I could speak for most of us. We'd probably be feeling pretty sorry for ourselves if we got treated the way Paul did. Would we think to praise God because we were mistreated? I don't know. But it's one of the things that we are called to do if the world situation puts it that way. This is an example out of the book of Acts. We all know the story of the Philippian jailer. But if you listen to kind of what happens here, I'm going to kind of start in the middle of it, where Paul and Silas were brought before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." So the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. If you've ever seen the after effect of this, it's quite horrific. Huge welts, oftentimes with broken skin, and it scars you for life. And that's what happened to Paul and Silas. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. In other words, nothing's going to happen with these guys. The jailer took his orders very seriously. So I'm not going to put them in an outer cell where they even have a chance to worry about escaping. They're going into the heart of the prison. And you know it smelled bad. You know it was terrible in there. But that's where he put them and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Wow. That is amazing. I think I would be laying there in a fetal position crying. But these guys are singing hymns and praising God. Amazing. But here's the other caveat too. The other prisoners were listening to them. What an example. Paul already laid out the story of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, by telling the Romans, Jesus has made you free. You are dead to sin and to the world. Live like it. One of the problems with being in the world is simply the fact that it kind of rubs off on us. And in our quest to fit in, sometimes we may allow ourselves to go, well, maybe that's not so bad. But James, in chapter 4 and verse 4, plainly says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? That puts you at odds with God. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy to God." That's not where we want to be. We are called to be in this world, but not to become of it. And if we try to maintain our way, particularly when we try to John Wayne and go solo, we don't do so good. We find ourselves at odds with God's command. That is where each and every person sitting in here comes into play. Each and every person in here can be an influence, can be a friend, can be the one thing that a person needs in this world to keep them on that straight path and keep the world at bay. One of the reasons that we are is because we are not just a group of people sitting here. We have all been baptized into Christ's death. We have all been baptized into the family of God. And we need to treat each other like family. Well, sometimes family don't get along. But still, it's like the old saying, you know, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Well, the same thing kind of applies here, but we need to be there for one another, not at odds with each other. We need to be there as a brother or a sister and help our family. Not just so we can pat ourselves on the back and go, boy, I'm good. No, it's not what it's about. It's about the goal of getting each and every one of us to heaven. Our brother Darrell last week laid out those steps, told you exactly how to get there. But if you had any doubts about what happens once I put on Christ, two things are going to happen. Number one, the world is dead to you. If you're serious about putting on Christ. And number two, you are accepted into a family, brothers and sisters, a support group that beats anything the world can ever come up with. I would love to think that each and every person in here would be a phone call away to any other brother or sister who is calling for help. Far too often the world tries to divide. They come up with titles and different kinds of actions. Well, if you're this gender, then you have to do this. If you're that gender, you have to do that. And if you don't know what you are, then you need to do this. And everyone else has to say it's okay. Oh, you can't associate with that person because they're different. Brothers and sisters, there is no different person. There is no race out there because there's only one race, and that's the human race. We were made in God's image, and we should treat each other that way. Not with differences because of looks. It doesn't mean anything. That's all in this physical world. So the world is trying to divide us. The world is trying to make us at odds with one another. And if we try to fit into the world, we are completely out of the mold that God had put us in. We can't fit in to the worldly perception. Which is why the world, by and large, don't like people who claim to have any kind of morality. They will try to label you with some kind of hateful thing. But we know that that's not the case. And if the world ever beats us up, there's a whole bunch of us right here that we can get together with and put the world outside where it belongs. We deal with things every day in the workplace. We deal with things out in the public. And in some cases, we're going to see people and hear people who say and do bad things. But amongst ourselves, we can be together. We can nurture one another. We can love each other. We can have all kinds of fun and not worry about the world. Because we know the world is going away. and where those who try to be in the mold of the world are going is not a good place. We want to go to the good place. So we don't want to be an enemy with God. We want to love God. It all goes back to those two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. If we do that, we got it made. We don't worry about the world, because the world, again, tries to divide, tries to put you in groups, tries to pit people against each other. And that's not what we're about. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians, and he puts it very, very succinctly here. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do the righteous and wickedness have in common? Not much. Or, how can light work with darkness? They're opposites. Just as worldly and righteous are opposites. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Between good and evil? In a lot of ways, this is a very amazing passage. Because when you look at the picture up here too, that would give you an idea. Because what is across the necks of those oxen is commonly referred to as a yoke. So when he says, don't be yoked together with the world, you can see that could lead to trouble. He goes on to say, what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And, this is the good part, I will be a father to you. And you, all of us, will be my sons and daughters. How amazing is that? The Almighty Creator God wants you as a son or daughter. He says, come out of the world and live for me. And I will be your father. These are the words of the Lord Almighty. Come live for me and don't live for the world. There is a better place. And if you yoke yourselves to unbelievers, what do you find happening? You are drug unwillingly the way of the unbeliever. You have no choice. You may want to get out of that team, but guess what? The lead bull is not going to let you out. He's going to drag you if he has to, because he goes where his master tells him to go. And through this, as we read earlier, you can't serve two masters. And how you live is going to say who your master is. If the world is your master, you're going to live a worldly life. If God is your master, you're going to live a godly life. But you have to decide. That's where free will comes in. Who is going to be your master? We have an opportunity as believers to be accepted by our kind, loving, almighty, gracious God, to be sons and daughters to Him. And He will be a father to us. Jesus, of course, said it this way, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I used to wonder about that when I was a younger person. And then you kind of realize, okay, well, this picture says it all. Jesus says, here's my yoke. There's nothing dragging you into the world. Put it on. And instead of being yoked to unbelievers or to worldly people, you are yoked together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So does it not make it easier when we associate with one another to not go follow our own desires? Sure it does. When we are out by ourselves in the world, it's easy to go, man, you know, that really looks like something I want to do. That feels good. I want to do that. Is that what God wants us to do? Do we follow the lust of our eyes and what our body says? Or do we associate with one another and keep all that stuff outside where it belongs? That is what helps make the burden that Christ gives us, the yoke that we put upon ourselves, to be easy, because the load is shared. And each and every one of us can bear one another's burdens, that we can help one another get through this world and reach the ultimate goal, life eternal with God our Father. Don't worry about fitting in to the world. You may feel like the world is against you, and it is. You may feel like, I just have such a hard time out there. Well, don't go out there. Come in here. Because here, in family, is where you fit. This is where you fit in. This is not for the world to decide. This is for you to decide. You take your free will and say, do I want to be a member of the body? Because Paul gives us another great description. The body is made up of many members, but it has the same goal and purpose. Be a member of the body. Be a member of that. I don't even want to say organization, because the church is a living thing. You want to be part of that entity that has as its goal reaching paradise, of being able to go with God, live with God, and not worry about what the rest of the world does. If that is your goal, if you have found yourselves in a yoke that is dragging you away into places you don't want to go, throw it off. If you need the prayers of the church to help you ease your burden and share the yoke that Christ gives us, that opportunity is here. If you are sick and tired of the yoke of the world, and you need to put on Christ, the opportunities are available. Free yourself from the world. Take the mantle of Jesus and join a family of God where you find yourself fitting in very nicely. Think on these things as we stand and sing.
Jesus, the loving